In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We continue to look at Romans 8, verse 28, probably my favorite scripture passage in the whole Bible. We know, not we think, not we wonder, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for the good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. Now I'm going to tell you what you're going through, what I'm going through. It's going to work together for the good if we love God and we are called to his purpose. How do I know that? Because the worst thing that ever happened was the crucifixion of God's Son. Innocent Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. The worst thing that ever happened was the crucifixion and death and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings forth resurrection. The worst thing that ever happened turned out for our benefit. For our sake and for our salvation, he went to the cross. For our sake and for our salvation, he died, bled, was buried, and rose from the dead. So all things work together for the good to those who love God. So I'm asking you a question today. Do you love him? Do you love him? Remember what it said in Fiddler of Roof? Do you love me? Remember? Fiddler asked his wife, "Do you love me?" She said, "For 25 years I've washed your clothes, prepared your food, gave you children." But he said, "But do you love me?" If you love him, I tell you, all things work together for the good to those who love God. All things. And the cross tells me that. Okay, what can we say then? Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, here we have it again. God is for you. But you say, what I'm going through, it doesn't seem like God is for... God is for you. How do I know? The cross tells me that God is for you. For you, for you. What shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with his Son also freely give us all things beside? With his Son, shall he not give us all things beside? Let me tell you this, my friends. We do not pray the Our Father with faith, because Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it..." That's the plan of God. I don't care what anyone says. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And when he taught them how to pray, he didn't tell them that they were going to be beggars. He never meant his people to be beggars, unless they do that because they want to be that. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Will he not give us all things beside if he gave us his Son? Will he not provide for us, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, that prayer of Jesus that he taught us is the disciples' prayer. I tell you, there's more content in that. If that's the only thing we know, that's enough of the gospel to save us. Jesus' will for the earth and for the church is that the kingdom would come and that the will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But let me tell you this. It's not going to happen unless we give in to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is, the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, most churches don't want to have the Holy Ghost. They don't want the Spirit of God to do anything in their lives. You want to know why? Because it causes trouble. People are going to look at us. We're crazy. Let's think of a mass that you went to yesterday. How many minutes were you there? Was it enough room for the Holy Spirit to start doing something? You know, when you're making love, you don't make love by a clock, unless you're a prostitute. When you're making love, you make love as you make love. You don't count the time. I would always understand that the Eucharist is time to make love with God. I wonder how long your Eucharist was yesterday. Did you want to get out in 23 minutes? Did you go to a Mass because you just wanted to get out quickly? That's kind of pathetic. Or do you go on Saturday to get it over with? Isn't that something? To get it over with. To get it over with. Isn't that something? That the most important thing of the week, the most important activity, the most important worship service of the week is the Sunday liturgy, and I go on Saturday to get it over with. Yeah, that's what people say. I have to get it over with. What does that mean? They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea of God. They have no idea of Jesus. Will he not give us all things beside in him? If he who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside in him? You see, the Pope called this the year of faith, but you can call it the year of anything. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes when we put up our life to Jesus. You can call it the year of faith all you want, but you know, there's no faith unless you put up your life, unless you put up your guts, unless you put up your money, unless you put up your time, unless you put up everything. There's no faith unless you surrender to the Lord. There's no faith. We can call it the year of faith. You know, we had the year of faith, hope, and love before the year 2000. And we had the year of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father. Didn't do anything to anybody. Just because you make those names up doesn't mean anything. You've got to live them out. You've got to live them out. You just don't say, this is the year of faith. If it's the year of faith, then every preacher should be preaching at least 20 minutes longer. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not just something that just happens. You know, I've got faith. No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want faith? Then you need the word of God to be proclaimed by a faithful person. That's why maybe we should give the homilies to people who have faith, never mind to the priest. I know only the priest and deacon are supposed to be able to preach the word of God. But if they have no faith, it would be better for them to read the fathers of the church and tell us something that we can go home with. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How much time do we spend in the word of God? How much time do we spend reading the word of God? How much time do we spend listening to the word of God? How much time? How much time? How much time do we preach the word of God? Let me tell you, you can say this is the year of faith all you want, but if the word of God is nothing to do with your life, this is no year of faith for you. It's no year of faith for the parish either. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God tells us, he who did not spare his own son, that's Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, that's you, that's me, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things that we need? It's all in the Our Father. Our Father, Abba, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. It's justice, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with your church, I don't care if it's Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox, I'm going to tell you, you have no experience of the kingdom. The kingdom is what it's all about, and the king is what it's all about. He is the king of the kingdom. His name is Jesus. And the Father says, I who did not spare my own son, will I not give you all things beside in him? Yes, he will. If he gave us the very best, will he not give us all that we need? And let me tell you this, you know, if you need something, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. If you need something, then do your asking. But pray. Pray that the kingdom would come, that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. I heard last night a French preacher talk about we should pray for God's will. I want to pray for God's will too. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's God's will. That's God's will. The disciples went up to Jesus one day and said, John the Baptist, you know, taught his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, when you pray Abba, Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, that we're not wondering about what meal we have next. That we have too many important things to know than to worry about my next meal. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Listen, it's all in the Our Father. He who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside? When the Lord looks at the church, what does he see? Does he see, I see the kingdom of God in that local church? I don't know if he does. I see the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. It's justice, peace, in the Holy Spirit, justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Does God see the kingdom of God, or at least seeds of the kingdom of God, when he looks at your parish, when he looks at your diocese, when he looks at my parish, when he looks at my diocese? What does God see? Or does he see a whole bunch of religious operators, you know, operators to get through this, so that the next group of people will come in? I'm telling you, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with his son freely give us all things, everything that we need? God is a provider. God is a provider. You must learn that your provision comes from God. You must learn, my provision comes from God. I've been kind of wondering if I've been doing the will of God lately, because we've not been getting the monies that we need, you know, and I'm wondering, maybe I'm not doing the will of God. We're not getting, last week we got $1,600 when we should have got $5,000, which means we can't pay our bills. I was getting more money when I was running tapes. I was getting more money when I was running tapes. But God is the provider. He is the provider, and he provides through you, but he is the provider. He is my provider. And I've also asked the intercession of Saint Jeanette, who used to keep our books. Jeanette, we need you to do something from where you are. You were the one that told me you gained faith by doing the books. Because every time I started a new station, we didn't have enough money for it. But God would always provide the money. You said, I learned faith by keeping your books. Yeah, I learned faith by keeping your books. How did she learn faith? Because she saw that the provision of God, the provision of God. Give us this day our daily bread. God is a provider. You know, we think that Jesus was a poor man. I just want to tell you, I took a course, and if I didn't learn anything else in this course, Jesus was a fix-it man by trade. He was a middle-class person. A middle-class, he was not a poverty person. Jesus was a middle-class person of the day. He wasn't a man of poverty. He chose to live by faith. I remember what he said? Foxes have lairs and dogs have holes or whatever. He said foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But yet he laid his head where? In Peter's house, in Lazarus' house. He had nothing of his own, but everything was provided for him. Everything was provided for him. Everything was provided for him. They loved when he came to their house. Anyway, I just want to tell you that he who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside? And who shall lay any charge of God's elect? You are God's elect if you love the Lord. Will God, who justifies you, will he lay a charge against you? Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ who died for you? Is he going to condemn you if he died for you? And you believe that he died for you? Yea, rather, that he is risen again? Who is even right now at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate you and me and us from the love of God? Who shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall peril? Shall the sword? Shall death? Shall life? Shall angels? Shall principalities? Who can separate us from the love of God? He who did not spare his own son. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless we want to be separated. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless we desire to be separated. He holds us together in the power of his mercy. He holds us together in the power of his mercy. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless we want to be separate by sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not angels, not principalities, not life, not death, not the present, not tribulation, not distress, not famine, not persecution, not nakedness, not peril, not the sword. Nothing can separate us from the love of God unless you want to be separated. Nothing can separate us, because he who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside? Yesterday, the scripture that the church gave us was, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, he who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread come down from heaven. Unlike the bread that your fathers ate in the wilderness and died, those that eat this bread will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world to come. The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world to come. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. This is what Jesus said, and this is what Jesus meant. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Jesus was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And you know, many of the disciples left him and said, what can we do? He sounds like a cannibal. And a disciple was not a Sunday Catholic or a Saturday Catholic that wanted to get it over with. A disciple, I'll tell you what a disciple was, left mother, father, sister, brother, homes, lands, and everything to follow Jesus. And they said, this teaching is too much for us. We cannot endure it. Jesus said, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. I think we as Catholics receive the Eucharist too casually. I think that we receive the Eucharist as if it's a Necco wafer. I think that we receive the Eucharist and familiarity has bred contempt. I think we need a new outpouring of who we receive at the altar. I think we need a new faith as to who we receive at the Eucharist. I think we need to go back to our seats and be in the presence of the one we have just received. I think it's become too common to go to Mass every day. I've been told that there are people who go to Mass every day that do not even believe that this is truly Jesus. Now, why do they go to Mass? They say, well, it's a nice day, this nice way to start the day. And they don't even believe that it's truly Jesus. This is ridiculous. This is a curse. Receiving the Lord and not believing it's the Lord. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. That's a curse. I do think that we have become too familiar with the Blessed Sacrament, including myself. Too familiar with receiving Holy Communion. I think we have become too familiar. We don't realize how awesome, how holy, how beautiful, how wonderful, how we really are coming into the presence of God and we are receiving the one who gave his life for us and the one who rose from the dead. We receive the risen Lord. But you see, unless that's preached, people aren't going to know it. People aren't going to know it. Unless that's preached, people aren't going to know it. This is Jesus. This is truly Jesus. When some of the disciples said, we cannot endure this teaching, he said, let them go. Let them go. For unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Let me tell you this, my friends. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. And when the disciples left, he didn't call them back. It's very interesting. He didn't call them back. And they had left mother, father, sister, brother, lands, homes. And he said, let them go. He knew what he was going to do on that night before he died. He knew he was going to take bread. He knew he was going to break it. He knew he was going to say, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. My friends, Jesus meant what he said. And I'm talking to people who have left the Catholic Church. I'm talking to people who have left the Catholic Church. And I'm telling you, you have forfeited the Eucharist. If you want to do it, you can do it both ways. Go to Mass on a Saturday and then to your service on a Sunday. Get to confession. Repent of your sin. Repent of the sin that you have forsaken Jesus as Eucharist, because he said what he meant and he meant what he said. And if you don't believe me, I want you to read John 6 completely. Read it completely. How can we endure such teaching, they said. and they left him, and he didn't call them back. These were not Sunday Catholics. These were people who left everything to follow him. Jesus meant what he said and said what he meant. And you know what? We need a new way of receiving him. We need a new awareness of who we receive. I need a new awareness of who I receive. It's bigger than anything else. It is the Lord himself that we receive. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. As I said before, I was expecting, how much was I expecting? $5,000 in the mail this week at $1,600, which means we will not be able to pay our July bills, and August bills will come in right after the first day of September. So, my friends, if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, I need to hear from you just so that we can pay our bills. I am not paid. I do not get a cent for doing these things. I do them because I have a mandate to do them. The Lord has graced me to do them. He could have graced somebody else, but he didn't. He graced me to do them, and I do them because I want to do them, and I do them because I want you to hear the truth. So the mailing address is very simple. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's in season and out of season. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. So if these broadcasts are a blessing to you, just right now do it. Don't say someone else is going to do it for me, because they're not going to. Do it. Just do it. And do it in the name of the Lord. Do it as you're doing it for Jesus Christ himself, so that teachings like this can go across the airwaves and people could hear and believe. Pray for me, because I need your prayers. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.